Okay, welcome back. As the world turns, as in stomach turns, it's all so disgusting. And I know many of you understand. You see it. You wouldn't be listening here. And I see other people continually talking about the experimental vax that simply wasn't given enough trials and it didn't work. Wrong. It was never a vax. It was a bioweapon. How many different bioweapons labs that the U.S. had funded were found in Ukraine? It was something over 30, and I don't recall the number. This crap is being perpetrated in laboratories all around the world, varying degrees of it. You name the platform in terms of any kind of a virus or a bacterium or other things, and they're working on it. It's that old saw. If people can do it, no matter how dangerous it is, they're going to do it. That's called a fatal flaw in a species, because it will lead to that species' demise. And we're getting real close here. It's actually underway already. And then we have spent so much time on many subjects. There's a girl sitting over there in the corner. You want to come out and join the party here?
Oh, well, I'd love to.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yes. Miss Colleen of 2024.
Choline is a very essential nutrient for your brain.
Well, a lot of people would say that about you.
Right.
That's good, huh? Considering it's Monday. Not even warmed up yet. Okay. Look, one of the things that we've talked about from very early on is that the spike, and we've echoed Dr. Chetty, is the most diabolically deadly thing, he says, that mankind has ever created. And I would suggest that's true. I would also suggest that it may not have 100% been a mankind-created weapon. But whatever. It doesn't matter. It is hideous. It's horrible. And if it's in the blood, which it is, it's going to be in every organ of the body. What does that do to the, first of all, the organ transplant industry? And secondly, what does it do to the blood industry, as in red double cross? What does it mean for blood transfusions? We've got to give you a couple units of blood here. You're looking a little this or that. Look, they're killing people all the time with that, with both organs and the blood. And I'm sorry to say it, but I'm not wrong. We're right. We've said it. And we have science. It's simple. It's kind of a no-brainer science. It's that stupidly obvious. Now, you want to add anything before we jump into our first little Greg Hunter video?
No, I think everybody who's been paying attention knows by now that the blood supply is dangerously tainted.
Deadly.
And potentially lethal.
Yeah.
They are not screening or excluding people who have had the vaccine. They're not even testing for possible contamination. It's a free-for-all.
I'd say you're right on top of it, as usual. Greg Hunter has a very, very good, generally speaking, USA Watchdog. It's a good talk format. He's been at it for a long time. Well, Greg was off the air for, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks, and he finally made a statement as to what happened. And he tells the story of his heart attack. And apparently he's going to be okay, but it almost took him out. And he talks about how his faith in Jesus, Jehovah, whatever you want to call it, saved him. He made other decisions as well, which saved him. Now we're going to join... This is be short. It's not going to be very long. We're going to join Greg in the ER or ICU. He went to the hospital, and let's find out what happened in the hospital. Now, The issue was his heart.
And they say to me, well, we want to check your troponin level. And what's that? Well, your troponin level shows, you know, whether you're having a heart attack or something's wrong. I say, what should it be? And he said, you know, it should be 8 or 9 or 10, somewhere in that area, you know, single or just very low double digits. They came walking out and said, Mr. Hunter, yes, we're going to admit you. Really? I feel kind of guilty being admitted with all these sick people here. She says, well, I said, what was my troponin level? She says, 8,000. You have suffered a pretty significant heart attack. Okay. So I'm out in another county outside of, actually St. Charles County, at a good hospital. And they were going to put a stent in, and I thought, well, they'll put a stent in, it'll be, you know, a couple days in the hospital, won't be that big of a deal. And I get taken down to the cath lab, and I said, well, you know, we'll just take about 2 hours. We'll, look, you know, go in and we'll run something up your arm, and we'll go in, and we'll take a look at and maybe put a couple stents in, and you'll be fixed up good as new. How long is the operation? About two hours. So I go in there. And they said, well, you're not going to be totally out. You'll be in la-la land. I said, okay. So I'm in there, laying back, you know, it's operating room, and all these people are around, and they busy. And they, you know, put this in my hand. They start looking at it, and the doctor, who's very experienced, says, oh, well, we're done here after about 15 minutes. I said, you're done? What do you mean you're done? He says, you got too many clogged veins. We can't do anything for you. We have to send you down, you know, to the big hospital near the Arch, downtown St. Louis. Okay. So the next day I go down there. I'm taken down there in an ambulance, and I'm feeling okay at this point. Of course, now they do have me on some drugs, so I won't, you know, have a heart attack or another heart attack. The long and short of it is, I end up in a 8-hour operation. It was quadruple bypass, but, you know, as I said, one of the bypass, veins was just a little vein. It was kind of a freebie, so it really was a triple bypass, in actuality, a triple bypass. And I'm thinking, whew, whoa, that was some deal. You know, the next day the doctor comes in and says, you know, checks in on me. One of the things they wanted to give me was blood in the hospital. I'm going to do a special thing with Dr. Elizabeth Eads on that, but I did not want the blood. You know, I'm in a room full of doctors, and I'm telling them this is before the operation, and then even after the operation, there's another subsequent smaller operation. And they're telling me I need to get blood. And I said, listen, I'm not your colleague, okay? I'm not a doctor, but, they just had a affidavit done by a professor of law over here, Francis Boyle, at the University of Illinois, which is right across the river here. And he just did an affidavit saying there was a bioweapon. He wrote the 1989 Bioweapons Act. And he's a pretty good source to know what a bioweapon is. I said, Dr. Michael Yeadon testified in front of the UK Parliament on the 4th of December that the ingredients of these CV19, mRNA vaccines, the ingredients were intentionally harmful. And Yeadon went on to say that they knew what they were doing. They knew full well what they were doing. I said, so I don't want this blood. And I think it's pretty unscientific that they're mixing vaxxed and unvaxxed blood. One of the doctors leaned over and said, you should just go ahead and get blood. And I said, no. And another one.
Do you know how many times that happens in a hospital and someone is delirious, out of it, or whatever, semi-conscious, and you need to get blood? All right, okay, and go ahead. And that you're dead. That'll kill you. Not necessarily in the hospital, but you're on a very short fuse after that.
You know, they'd already done another operation where they had a little propeller pumping my heart for a couple of days because just wanted to make sure that everything was filling up and everything was okay. It was. And he says, well, I'll tell you what. you know, that propeller can really chew up your red blood cells, your hemoglobin. And the hemoglobin, if once it gets below 7, they say you have to be transfused. Well, I got down to 7.6. And this one doctor is listening to me say this about the, I also told them, this is a room full of doctors. I said, once you, when you realize what's been done to you, you know, the people are going to be pissed. But I don't want the blood. So he says, I'm going to turn down, not Impella is what they call it, I believe. And that should help you. Well, the next day, the one doctor that leaned over said, you should just go ahead and get it. I mean, he's listening to me quote these stats, I said, and quote I just hit the highlights. And the next day, my hemoglobin came in at 8.8 out of the woods. And the doctor that told me you should get the blood leans over to me and says, you are right not to get the blood.
Get it? He saved his life. He saved his life for that decision. And these doctors, many of them, know exactly what the risks are. And you just heard a perfect example. And I want to really thank Greg for presenting his truth, because that's our truth. And all of you should have a document either with you at all times or, I would say with you, notarized. You say, if I am ever taken into a hospital, I do not authorize under any circumstances COVID vaccinations or blood transfusions. You can add anything else you want. You should have that on paper, signed, notarized, in your wallet, in your purse, at all times. Because these people, many of them, are killers. It's all about money. They don't give a crap about you.
And make sure you know what you're signing, because a lot of times you know, they'll put one of these electronic signature.
Oh, when you go into, absolutely, when you're admitted, you bet.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And you know, you sign your name to it, and, you know, do you really know what you're signing? You know, ask for a printed copy of what
you're... Most
people
don't read. They're sick. Whatever. They're not going to read all that, digest it in many cases.
Well, I wouldn't just blindly sign something because they've told you to sign. Because you don't know what you're committing to.
Right.
Or consenting to.
I'm going
to he had the presence of mind to refuse that and to make a very solid argument as to why.
Yeah. I'm going to play that again. Just short, just part of it. I want this to sink in.
And the next day, my hemoglobin came in at 8.8 out of the woods. And the doctor that told me you should get the blood leans over to me and says, you were right not to get the blood. That's a whole other issue of this commingling of this nasty nanoparticle blood that they're giving people. They're bad. What? What problem? 700 million injections. Is there a problem? People dropping over dead. Do you see all the people dropping over dead at the Olympics?
Okay. There we go. So anyhow, Greg's a very nice guy. And thank you again, Greg, for sharing that. And it just went all around the world. A lot of people heard it. The blood is not safe. All right. And his guests made it quite clear to him on his program. And it stuck. So, and I know
that. Yeah, and I think we played at least one. There was one incident where there was a woman who did, you know, tell her story. She was admitted to a hospital for something and was made to have a transfusion and almost died from it. From clotting, specifically.
Right. Exactly. How
many times does that happen nowadays?
Oh, all the time. It happens all the time. Here's a little CDC Jewish princess, Mandy Cohen, the director of the CDC, with about as much credential as a man on the street or a woman on the street. I mean, this woman is extremely common in terms of her background. Here's what, now listen to her. Here's what she's saying.
the top information about who should get the various vaccinations in this upcoming season to protect themselves. COVID and flu are quite straightforward. Everyone 6 months or older should get the updated 2024-2025 COVID-19 vaccine and flu vaccine, including pregnant moms. So everyone should get that updated COVID-19 vaccine, the updated flu shot this year.
Can you say genocide? This is a monstrous woman mouthing this crap. And
sure
you know
is.
That we've investigated pharmacies and so forth, and many of them now on hold, waiting for another few weeks till September when they get that new revised, updated COVID vax and the new flu vax for 24-25. I'm not sure if that's mRNA or not. I don't know yet. We don't know. Last year it wasn't. This
well,
year
so
it could
far,
be.
No. It's not, but there is one in the pipeline, Moderna.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, there's little Mandy Cohen. It's all so disgusting.
Face.
Oh, she's getting paid several hundred thousand a year, I'm sure. The face of the CDC. And don't forget her predecessor, Rochelle Walensky. Wasn't that it?
Yeah.
I think it was Rochelle. Anyhow, it's grim out there. And unless you're prepared to advocate for yourself or have someone that you respect, your partner, your spouse, one of your children, you know, older teenage kid can do this, who's going to argue for you if you end up in the hospital, it's not good. It's not looking good. Now, the whole premise of these alleged vaccinations is a fraud. You know it. We know it. Many people know it. It was not designed to be a vax. Can't be a vax. It's a weapon. It's a gene changing, gene altering. It's not gene therapy. It's a destroyer of your genome is what it is, because it's inserting things that have never been there in the history of humanity. And your body doesn't know what the hell to do about it. It tries valiantly, but it can't deal with something that is, it might as well be from another planet.
Yeah. You know, and it, you know, overrides all of the cellular defenses. It's designed to do that, to get past the immune system and reprogram the cell. And it does.
Now, I'm going to go back, and we're going to play another little video for you. You've heard many of these things before, but you need to remember. And this is not an effort to get you to vote for the camel and Walls. Were you listening last hour?
No.
When Walls, according to Don Jeffries, was in his early 30s, he was addicted to, I don't even like saying this, horse semen.
Oh.
And he got so sick from overdosing on it, he had to have his stomach pumped at least one time in a hospital. This guy is so degenerate and depraved and disgusting. They couldn't have picked anybody with more skeletons. He's got a battalion of skeletons in his closet. So why did they pick such a turd? Anyway, that was a new one on me. All right, here's Donald J. reminding everyone what a great man he is for pushing the COVID vax. These are classics, some of them, but I think you need to, and I'm not saying don't vote for the guy. Your vote doesn't matter, we know that. But if you're going to play the game, don't vote for the other side. That ain't us either. But Don at least says some good things. All right, here.
I have really good news.
Today, our nation has achieved a medical miracle. We have delivered a safe and effective vaccine in just 9 months.
And it says, Trump, the orange clown and idiot, pushes bioweapon injections on his own people. Trump should be tried for crimes against humanity. Trump is a monster like all the other globalists.
This is one of the greatest scientific accomplishments in history. It will save millions of lives and soon end the pandemic once and for all. Because of that vaccine, millions and millions of people, I think this would have been the Spanish flu of 1917, where up to 100 million people died. This was going to ravage the country far beyond what it is right now. Take credit for it. Take credit for it. It's a great, what we've done is historic. Don't let them take it away. Don't take it away from ourselves. You're playing right into their hands.
You know what? I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. Free, you got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right.
He says, I did it. It's good. Take the vaccine. He didn't take the vaccine. Come on,
no.
None of these people take the vaccine.
Proud to announce that this morning, the Moderna vaccine has officially entered phase 3 already. And that's phase 3 clinical trials, the final stage before approval. Under Operation Warp Speed, we've shaved years off of the time that it takes to develop a vaccine, in some cases, many years.
The United States is the first nation in the world to produce a verifiably safe and effective vaccine. Today's achievement is a reminder of America's unlimited potential when we have the will and the courage to pursue ambitious goals.
I wonder what some of you vaccine-injured friends of ours, we consider you family, would do to this man if you could get him alone in a room for 5 or 10 minutes. This is unspeakable evil, what he is mouthing.
Said from the beginning, a vaccine will vanquish the virus and return life back to normal. The pandemic may have begun in China, but we are ending it right here in America. Operation Warp Speed is the greatest medical manufacturing endeavor in American history.
Both the president and I are vaxxed, and did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it too. Okay, so...
Don't. If it doesn't work, you'll be the first to know, okay?
Yeah, all the victims maimed and slaughtered by these jabs sure know it doesn't work. He was right.
I'll call up Alabama and say, hey, you know what? But it is working. But you do have your freedoms. You have to maintain that.
There you go. All right. He's not backing down from this at all. He can't, for a variety of reasons. But... pretty nauseating, pretty much leaves you with a sense of not having enough words to properly describe what we just heard. It's really pathetic.
And his disciples continue to make excuses for him.
Oh, absolutely. They won't stop. You're right. Okay, so the point is, if you want to play the vote game, you still have to vote Trump. He at least plays lip service to some of the values of this constitutional republic that we have.
Mm.
The other side, you got a whore and someone who could have been charged with bestiality, perhaps. I don't
right.
know. This is sick, sick, depraved stuff. All right, now here, I'm going to change gears a little bit. We're going to bring you a little clip. It's a 1956 film clip talking about the future. Now watch and see how spot on this was. 56, that's what, 70 years ago. All right. Let's see if I can get this to play. No, it's not going to play there. Let me try it again. No, I got to hold on. Let me bring it over here again. Okay, here we go. This is called formally Avoiding the Future Plague. This is 1956.
When you think of the future, you likely envision the remarkable technologies that you've seen in comic books and films. You may begin to picture flying cars, trains driven by electromagnets, or household robots that will see to your every need. While modern scientists agree that many of these inventions are either unlikely or unnecessary, it may surprise you to learn what the future could actually hold. Imagine being able to share your thoughts with millions of people at once, simply by typing them on a keyboard and sending them through the air. Think of what life will be like when all of the many fixtures of an office, including a typewriter and an entire Rolodex, can fit within a device smaller than a loaf of bread.
Notice he didn't even use the word computer. It wasn't around then.
Consider the vacation plans you could make when a single trip on an airplane is all that's needed to visit anywhere on Earth. Yes, the future certainly looks bright, but it isn't without its darker sides. According to some predictions, obesity will likely run rampant. And
oh, that's pretty interesting. 70 years ago, predicting obesity would run rampant.
Political corruption will become so commonplace as to be accepted. People with nothing entertaining or informative to say will broadcast their demands for attention, and once beloved performers will become pushers of snake oil.
Oh, how spot on is that, huh? Wow. I'm going to play that again. Corruption, political corruption. Let's see what they said 70 years ago.
And political corruption will become so commonplace as to be accepted. People with nothing entertaining or informative to say will broadcast their demands for attention.
Like little children in a sandbox demanding that their parent come over and pay them attention. There's your green screen revolution to a large degree. Then not all of it. There's some good people doing work out there. But believe me, when I was young, the goal was to be a Hollywood star. Now everyone can be a star, an influencer, with a keyboard, a computer, and a modem. That's all you need.
Once beloved performers will become pushers of snake oil. Perhaps worst of all will be the emergence of a deadly and potentially devastating disease. Think of the last time that you contracted influenza. You were likely bedridden for days, having no appetite or desire to play games.
Now pay attention, this gets better. It's almost over.
Experts predict that by the year 2020, a new virus will rise, spreading from somewhere in Asia to the rest of the world. And with international travel being available to even the most common citizen, a sickness which would have been contained in years past will quickly spread to all corners of the globe.
All right, let's try that again, just for the heck of it.
Likely bedridden for days, having no appetite or desire to play games. Experts predict that by the year 2020, a new virus will rise, spreading from somewhere in Asia to the rest of the world. And with international travel being available to even the most common citizen, a sickness which would have been contained in years past will quickly spread to all corners of the globe.
Ta-da! Don't say they didn't warn us, or was back a while, but what a coincidence,
I remember,
huh?
I don't want to burst your bubble, but I do remember when this was first circulated a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's
a fraud?
Well, somebody put it together as a creative thought.
Really?
Piece. Yeah.
Now, are we sure that wasn't just an effort to obfuscate the situation? This is a film from 1956 called Avoiding the Future Plague. News clips from 1956 predicts blah, 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 blah. This should be...
Yeah, I think what they did is, you know, you can do this now with a computer. You know, you can get...
Oh, they can make things seem old. I understand that.
So
but
they
do remember. I do remember reading predictions from the 50s and 60s that were very much like this. They talked about flying cars, about maglev trains. They talked about all this.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. In either case, I rest my case that back then, if you looked forward, you could see things. You don't have to be a remote viewer either. We were due. And I don't know if I can discount this or not. It may be a hoax, but if it is, it's a very prescient hoax.
Well, what is the saying? The best way to predict the future is to create the future?
Create it.
You know, there's no question this has been decades in the making.
For sure. Well, the projection of the desktop computer, the internet, it's all there. Let me think. Hold on. H.G. Wells. And I don't know where I can find it. H.G. Wells wrote a book, a real book, and he was so disgusted with it, and his publisher just dumped on it. This is in the 1880s, 90s, something like that. H.G. Wells put it away in a safe. And long after he was dead, a nephew or someone like that, this is a true story, opened the safe, found it, and in it was this manuscript written by H.G. Wells. And I will find it, and I will read it to you at some point. It talks about fax machines, internet, all kinds of things, a long way ago. I'm not sure if it was 100 years at the time, 1880, 1980. Might have been 100 years. I think it was 100, right about 100 years. But I'll find this. And so predictions of these kinds of advances were not unknown. So to me, this 1956 projection fits perfectly with the legitimate H.G. Wells projection of nearly 100 years prior. Well, 60, 70 years anyway. I'll find that. I've got it somewhere. Okay. If you don't stop talking, you're going to make me nervous. All right, here. Hold on. All right, now this, a professor gives a grave warning to the Parliament of Japan. You want to set this up a little bit?
Yeah, so if you've been paying attention, particularly to Michael Yon, who's over in Okinawa right now, he's been covering this self-amplifying RNA vaccine that is already being given, in my understanding, but I guess the big push is going to be in October when they mass distribute this thing, and many people are trying to warn the government that this could be disastrous, because as the name implies, this thing can potentially spread uncontrollably. And I think the risk is...
Want to do what they want it to do, ultimately?
I guess. I don't know if the people, you know, in charge of authorizing or licensing this distribution are aware of how bad this could be, or they're just taking the money and looking the other way. But no, it will be a synthetic, self-replicating piece of genetic material that gives the instructions to make the spike protein. And the concern is that if the person who is injected can't shut it down, then what's to stop it from spreading? You know, it will just keep self-amplifying indefinitely. And I think there's grave concern at this point because so many people are immune suppressed, particularly in Japan, where I think they're on their at least seven. They may be heading for nine at this point. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And now they're going to convince them they need another one, and except this one's slightly different. But even in the clinical trials that they did, most of which took place in Vietnam, there were a lot of adverse events associated with this type of platform, which is slightly different than the modified mRNA. The self-amplifying RNA does not contain the pseudouridine or methyl pseudouridine, so it should break down somewhat quickly, but, you know, that's assuming you have a competent immune system. Assuming there's not going to be some sort of co-infecting virus in those cells that could recombine with this thing. Who knows? There are too many unknowns.
Many. Did you see the story I sent you about the myelin sheath in the brain being destroyed after being infected with the bioweapon virus?
Oh, yeah. That's been known for a while.
Yeah. Well, it was reissued in a new story. This thing, this spike, it's so diabolical. All right, here's this professor. Go ahead.
Now, the inflammation is you know, on a par with nothing. There's been nothing like this in terms of its ability to create inflammation, and by virtue of that, destroy wherever it goes.
Ready. All right, here we go. Let's see what he has to say. Or she, it's a female. She works as a professor at, I think it's a very big university in Mexico, and she's over in Japan. All right, she's going to do her little CV, and then she'll go into her routine. It's very pragmatic, very correct. Here we go.
Good day, members of parliament, Japanese citizens, and citizens of the world. My name is Dr. Karina Acevedo-Whitehouse. I'm a professor of virology and epidemiology at the Autonomous University of Querétaro in Mexico. I'm also a researcher. I've conducted research for the past 25 years on immune plasticity, immunogenetics, and molecular epidemiology of natural populations. There are 6 points I want to put across quite briefly. First point, mRNA immunization is a form of gene therapy. When we say gene therapy, people tend to think about CRISPR-Cas-based gene editing. There are many other ways in which one can accomplish gene therapy. And one of those is exogenous mRNA-based gene expression, which is exactly what these products are. Second point, vaccine mRNA nanolipid particles are distributed throughout the body after an intramuscular injection. It does not stay at the injection site and remain in the draining lymph nodes. We know that hours after the injection, these molecules travel throughout the body to different organs and systems, even crossing the blood-brain barrier. This was done in mice, not in humans. But it can explain why now, when people conduct autopsies on people that died after the injection, it's possible to find vaccine-produced spike protein, which can be seen here in brown with a specific stain, an immunohistochemistry stain, in different organs, in the brain, in the lungs, in the kidneys, in the spleen. Third point, vaccine mRNA persists within the cells for more than 6 months, viable for up to 186 days at least, in the studies, independent studies that have confirmed this. And that explains why vaccine-generated spike is produced for months. And that's a big problem because this protein is an important virulence factor that has been involved in many different processes at cellular and molecular levels, and that can explain many of the pathologies that are being observed in people that are having reactions to these products. Fourth point, the vaccine mRNA drives various different intracellular cascades, which were not studied in any way prior to the authorization, which can cause, once they're accumulated in different cells, autoinflammatory status, autoimmunity, autoimmune conditions, DNA damage, chromosomal instability, and cellular degeneration. In addition, it can alter the function and the structure of ribosomes. Fifth point, there's an unprecedented rate of adverse effects that have been associated with these mRNA immunizations. Only taking data of Europe that's available and updated until the 21st of July, we have nearly 1,300,000 adverse reactions reported associated with Pfizer and nearly 400,000 with those of Moderna. This is absolutely unprecedented. If we compare this data with that reported for influenza flu vaccines, we can see that there's a very different scenario for both of them. The adverse events are being accumulated for the COVID vaccines at a rate that's 135 times more per month than those of the flu vaccine. And they're affecting different organs because of what I already explained, the fact that they can travel throughout the body, reaching many different systems. Sixth point, self-amplifying mRNA immunization is an uncharted territory. Although it was proposed 30 years ago, it has never been used for vaccines. It has never been used outside of very limited clinical and preclinical trials. The logic behind this technique is that one takes the genome of an alpha virus, that's an RNA virus that has a gene that codes for a replicase, that is an enzyme that will copy the RNA, and this is modified in order for it to contain the gene of interest. And what this allows is for the replicase to copy the gene of interest and itself over and over and over again. How long? We don't know. But despite it already being authorized, we have knowledge that the antigen expression is longer than the mRNA. I've already explained that that goes on for quite a long time. And there's very limited data on short-term safety. Only 2 published studies and absolutely no data to date on mid- and long-term safety, genotoxicity, mutagenicity, transgenerational effects, and no data on safety for elderly children, pregnant people, etc. Now, the development and mass production of vaccines in 100 days yields absolutely no possibility to evaluate safety adequately. If this was already poor for the authorized mRNA vaccines, this will be even worse and is prone to serious manufacturing problems. This is really important to consider in light of the many events that are being seen and excess mortality has been reported in different countries. This is data from the US, and we can see sudden cardiac death, the way it's increased, cerebrovascular diseases, the way they've increased, and excess cancer, the excess death due to cancer. So it's important to remember that procuring and maintaining health is not foremost dependent on vaccines. There are many other ways in which we can help our immune competence. Why don't we invest in procuring health rather than experimenting on our fellow humans? We need to learn from the past to avoid the same problems in the future. I hope.
Well done. Okay. Excellent. This sums it up.
Yeah.
All right. I found what I was talking about. This is a copy of an old article, and it wasn't H.G. Wells. My error. It was Jules Verne. Now, as far as looking ahead and figuring things out, let me just read this real quick here, just a couple, 3 paragraphs. Paris. Horse-drawn carriages clattered on the streets outside of Jules Verne's Paris apartment, but it was quiet inside. There was no telephone, no phonograph, no radio. They had yet to be invented. The year was 1863. Soldiers armed with muskets were fighting the Civil War across the Atlantic. Workers were digging London's first subway. And in Paris, the man who would become the best-selling French author of all time, taking readers on extraordinary voyages like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Around the World in 80 Days, was imagining a bleak future. The only thing Verne could not have predicted was that a book he had written, rejected by his publisher, would wait 131 years until 1994 to be published. Verne was 35, with only one highly acclaimed book to his credit, when he began writing Paris in the 20th Century, by hand, in a small and delicate cursive style. And think about today, young people aren't even being taught cursive anymore. The book's protagonist, Michel Dufresne, lived nearly a century in the future, in the year 1960. Technology and automation. Now, this is during the Civil War. Remember, that's the era. Technology and automation had supplanted the culture of the 1800s. Elevators whisked people up and down buildings. Trains took them back and forth between the suburbs and the cities. Images, he called them FAC, facsimiles, could be sent thousands of miles away by photographic telegraph, something we might today call a fax machine. Neon lights, unknown in 1863, illuminated Verne's future, all the streets. Concerts were performed in 10,000-seat auditoriums by single artists using electric amplifiers. And, of course, the innumerable cars that passed on the paved roads, most moved without horses, he wrote, 25 years before the first prototype of an automobile was even built. They are propelled, he wrote, by an invisible force, the force of 20 or 30 horses, by means of a motor run by gasoline combustion. All right, I'll stop there. Fascinating.
Very prescient.
Jules Verne. Yes. All right, let's see. We have time for one more video, I think. You want to do the inhalable self-spreading or the vaccines
yeah, we can
have
do that.
The dose issue, which we can
either
hold.
Or. You pick.
All right, let's do the inhalable. They're working on that right now. Okay. I've got to get this moved over here. And okay. All right, here we go. This is a shorty. The guy's name is Aaron Siri, S-I-R-I.
ICANN requested and has supported an entire legal effort surrounding self-spreading vaccines and other aerosolized issues. We uncovered a number of troubling discoveries, one of which was a company called Autonomous Therapeutics, with millions of dollars of federal government funding, was creating what it described on its website as inhalable vaccines, artificial immune systems, encrypted mRNA, vaccines and therapeutics. All of which, as it explains, is intended to get around informed consent. There are people out there that just won't agree to take these new mRNA or any other vaccine product. So the way we'll get around it is we'll just create one that self-spreads through the population. We uncovered that scheme and exposed the underlying details and how incredibly dangerous it can be. Well, Autonomous Therapeutics is now apparently a bit on the run because it has now updated its website and it's removed all of those claims that I just read to you. Instead, now it calls them precision medicines and disease activated.
Precision medicines and disease activated. It's all word games.
Yep.
Not fooled. We don't intend to let this issue go. And they can try and hide in the shadows, but we're not going to just let them engage in this conduct. On behalf of ICANN, we actually have over 30 FOIA requests, all with regards to self-spreading vaccines. And we are pursuing those vigorously, including into federal court.
Okay, there you go. So just a little look at what's going on behind the scenes. Yes? Aerosolized, self-spreading, inhaled, self-replicating vaccines, which are not vaccines. They're bio-influencers. If I'm going to be real polite, bio-influencers. No, they're bio-weapons. This is all nuts. That's why the 1956 projection, maybe it's the AI, I don't know, when you compare it to Jules Verne, 1863, you can see the projection from allegedly 1956, if that is bogus, I don't know that it is yet, but it would make sense. Jules Verne predicted fax, electronic transmission of images, essentially the internet, all kinds of things.
Well, I'll go back to Nick Szabo there in 1993.
Oh, please do.
With the Extropians.
He got it.
Extropians. Yep. You know, predicting green goo. In other words, synthetic biology, where they would create viruses in the lab, in a lab, and then release them covertly or randomly amongst populations, and how he predicted we're going to have to deal with it.
Nick Szabo.
We're looking at that right now. Yeah. You can't see any of this. And by the time it's been deployed, it's the luck of the draw whether or not you're hit with it.
If they release, let me rephrase that. When they release these inhalable, self-replicating vaccines, we're going to be the last to know.
It's a stealth weapon, and you can bet that they're already doing it.
I was just going to go there. We have no idea what they're doing now, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least if they're already lacing the air we breathe with this kind of crap. Look what they've been doing with chemtrails that we know about for, 40 years? It's crazy. Insane.
And now they say that a majority of the wildlife is testing positive, whatever that means, for the SARS-CoV-2 virus.
Did you get that article?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 6 species that have been taken into wildlife shelters and so forth, injured or lost or whatever, and swabbed. It's been found commonly in 6 different species. So we've already talked about they've killed lions in zoos with it. Horses? What else have they killed? Dogs and
gorillas.
Cats for sure.
Gorillas?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's all disgusting. It's hard to believe what this world has become. It's even harder to believe that it's all been done by design.
Well, and they've had this technology in the works for a long time, and they've been chomping at the bit, to use it. And up until recently, ethics, simple ethics and concern for the environment prevented that. But now...
There's certain groups of people that have no ethics, or they wouldn't kill little babies, children.
Well, that's true. Well, this is serving multiple purposes.
Yeah. It's very dangerous out there. You need to be on guard, you need to prepare, and you need to protect. If you have a family, I know this is bothering some of you because you don't have the financial wherewithal to make the plans you'd like, but do your best and know that you're not alone. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for Monday. Hope you enjoyed that little walkthrough of a number of different videos and things of substantive nature. Trump is something else, isn't he?
Yeah. What a disappointment.
Yeah. Says all the right things, and then he pulled that. Wow. When the guy asked him, are you boosted? He didn't immediately answer. I was watching very closely. There was a little pause there, and he said, yes.
Had to think about it.
He did. He absolutely did. No doubt. Okay. Good night, young lady. Take care. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
We shall continue with more.